Welcome to episode 1185 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We wrap our week-long exploration of conversations Jesus had in the last moments of his earthly life in a series we have entitled 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. The morning light over Golgotha was brutal, clear, hot, merciless. The place of the skull had earned its name. A stony hill just outside Jerusalem's city walls, it was the Roman Empire's theater of death, where rebels and criminals were lifted up on rough-hewn timber and left to suffocate under their own weight, exposed to the mockery of passers-by and the indifference of soldiers who cast lots for the condemned's last possessions.
Hey, up!
Three crosses stood that day. In the center, Jesus of Nazareth. To his right and left, two thieves, bandits, insurrectionists, rebels, depending on who told the story. Both had lived lives that brought them to this end, but their journeys, though similar, would end very differently. Justice had grown hard. He wasn't always a thief, but somewhere between famine and taxation, between watching Roman soldiers mock his mother and drag his cousin into forced labor, something in him had broken. He learned to steal to survive, and later, to lead. The zealots courted him, and he said yes, not for revolution, but for revenge. He hated the rich, he hated the priests, he hated the empire, he even hated himself most days. Now, nailed to a cross, the iron spikes burning through tendon and bone, Justice's final hours oozed bitterness. Every breath was pain, every thought, rage. And beside him hung Jesus, the so-called Messiah. Some Messiah, he thought, glaring through bloodied eyes. If you're the Christ, then save yourself. And us. His voice was hoarse as he spoke aloud, dripping with sarcasm.
Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
The words drew murmurs from the crowd. A few laughed. A soldier snorted, tossing dice for Jesus' tunic. The other thief, Dismas, heard the words and flinched. The pain was already unbearable, but something deeper pierced him. Shame. He had once believed in something noble. Long ago, he'd tried to care for his younger siblings after their parents died. But the Roman taxes crushed them. The landowners took everything. One desperate act turned into another. Eventually, he became what people said he was, a criminal. Yet he remembered hearing about Jesus months ago, a rabbi who touched lepers, ate with tax collectors, and healed blind men. The rumors reached even the dens of thieves. Jesus taught love, grace, even for the worst. Now, crucified beside him, Dismas looked at the man in the middle. Jesus' face was beaten, his body bloodied, but there was no hatred in his eyes. He didn't curse the soldiers or the crowd. He didn't mock in return. Dismas saw something in him, something otherworldly. He saw a king, even in a crown of thorns. With effort, Dismas turned to Gestas and rebuked him, not with anger, but urgency.
Don't you fear God? We are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Silence fell around the crosses. Even some bystanders stopped to listen. Then Dismas turned his face to Jesus. The words he spoke weren't eloquent, but they were sincere. Between groans and ragged breaths, he whispered,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
The words hung in the air. Jesus turned his head, blood trickling down from his scalp, and looked at Dismas with eyes full of a compassion deeper than death. He didn't say too late. He didn't say, you're not worthy. He didn't say, after what you've done. Instead, he said the words that would echo through eternity.
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
A promise. Immediate. Personal. Undeserved. Dismas wept. It hurt, but he didn't care. He would die forgiven. Three crosses, two choices, one savior. The sun climbed higher, shadows grew shorter, the crowd thinned. The soldiers yawned and waited for death to do its work. One thief clung to bitterness and died blind to grace. The other reached, barely, desperately, and found eternal mercy. And between them hung Jesus, silent again. bearing not just nails, but the weight of the world's sin. This is the paradox of the cross, that in the moment of Jesus' greatest agony, he gave his greatest gift. Two thieves saw the same man, heard the same mockery, bore the same pain, yet chose different paths. Even at the brink of death, the door of grace remained open. This interaction between Jesus and a thief reveals something profound about the nature of grace. Dismas had no record of righteousness, no opportunity to earn redemption, no ministry, no resume. He had a dying breath and a broken heart, and Jesus said that was enough. This is grace in its purest form, a gift given without expectation of return. It's the divine economy where the last becomes first, where confession outweighs condemnation, and where mercy triumphs over judgment. We are reminded in this moment that no one is beyond hope. No one is too far gone. Dismas' request, "Remember me," was not a doctrinal statement or the product of religious training. It was the honest cry of a soul who recognized the truth. And Jesus responded, not with theology, but with presence. "You will be with me." Jesus' statement to the thief stands as one of the clearest pictures of grace in all of Scripture. Jesus, moments away from death, turns to a criminal, a man condemned both by Rome and by society, and offers him something no one else could, eternal life. This flies in the face of merit-based religion and reminds us that no one is beyond redemption. Jesus' mission was not to rescue the religiously elite, but the broken, the contrite, the ones who dare to believe even with their last breath. This is the gospel distilled, unmerited favor from a savior who draws near to the least and the lost. There's also deep intimacy in Jesus' promise, "You will be with me." Paradise is not just a location, it is communion with Christ. Jesus does not simply offer the thief escape from torment, he offers himself. For those facing death, for those burdened by sin, for those wondering if it's too late, this moment is an anchor of hope. It reminds us Jesus is a Savior who saves completely, personally, and instantly. He meets us in our darkest hour, speaks life into our dying faith, and walks with us into eternity. Not because we earned it, but because he chose to love us to the end. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save, even his enemies. His first response to violence is intercession. Let's get deep what this conversation reveals about Jesus. Jesus is never too far to save. Hanging in agony, humiliated and dying, he still offers eternal life. Even on the cross, his mission is redemption. He sees the broken heart of a dying man and welcomes him home. Jesus shows us that salvation isn't about performance, reputation, or timing. Dismas couldn't undo his crimes. He had no time left to make amends, to serve the poor, or to prove his repentance through good works. All he had was faith, and Jesus met him there. Jesus always meets us there. Jesus reveals that grace is scandalous. It is not earned. It is not fair. It is extravagant. Paradise was offered to a dying thief. That is the gospel. Good news for the undeserving. Jesus reminds us that the door to the kingdom is open until the very last breath. We do not know when our time will come, but this moment on Golgotha assures us it's never too late to turn to him. While we still have breath, we have hope. Jesus shows us the power of presence. He does not promise Dismas a kingdom in the abstract, but himself. "You will be with me." That is the glory of heaven. Not golden streets or pearly gates, but being with Jesus. Father, thank you for the mercy that flows from the cross. Thank you that even in agony, Jesus opened paradise to a dying thief. May we never forget the scandalous beauty of grace. Give us the faith to cry out like Dismas, the humility to admit our need, and the hope that trusts in your promise. Help us to see others not as lost causes, but as those whom you are still reaching. Fill us with the boldness to extend that same grace, the patience to wait for transformation, and the joy of knowing we will be with you. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.